And she's incredible. She's powerful. And so why don't we give Janine a huge round of applause.
Awesome, church. How are you? Come on. I'm an interactive preacher. Did you guys know that? How are we? Very good. We like our carpet? And we like our little box over there. So that little thing over there, that's for the creative team, and so on. We won't be able to see all the bits and pieces. But you know what I want you to do? I want you to stand, and I want you to say good morning to someone that wasn't here about half an hour ago. And it's not to embarrass anyone, but it's for me to just get ready up here. Up here, so. You may be seated, Luke. How are we? Are we good? Yeah, you do look better on carpet, actually, than that concrete last week. And God's really providing us financially, so we're able to do that, which is really, really awesome. Grab your Bibles, and I'm going to do a little bit of reading. Is that okay? From the Scripture. From the Holy Word of God. And so grab your Bibles and turn to John 7. Oh, yeah. The Feast of the Tabernacle. One of my good friends, she said to me, what are you speaking on? I said, the Feast of Tabernacle. She says, oh, all right. What does that mean? So, and she's here this morning, a beautiful girl. And so I'm going to try explain it to her and many others here, so that's exciting. And gold, so good. So this is going to be chapter 7, and so we're reading. Are you guys ready to go? All right, just try grab a Bible and just keep up with me. So there's a bit of reading this morning, but I really want to bring some background about beautiful Jesus. All right, so chapter 7. So after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. And now the Jews' Feast of the Tabernacles was at hand, and his brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. And if you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. So you go up to this feast, and I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. And when he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Verse 10. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but was in secret. Can you imagine that? Our Jesus is incognito. He's sneaking into the city. And then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining amongst the people concerning him. And some said, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he is a deceiver of people. However, no one spoke openly of him, fear of the Jews. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. You guys still with me? Yeah, verse 17. And if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? And the people answered and said, you have a demon who is seeking to kill you. And Jesus said, I did one work and you all marveled. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it was Moses, but it was the fathers. And you circumcised a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of the Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Verse 25, stay with me, church. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, and when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out, and he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who has sent me, which is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Verse 30, therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not come. And many of the people believed in him, and they said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? Verse 32, then the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. And then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. And then the Jews said amongst themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. And verse 37, and on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and with a loud cry saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Wow. Amen to the scriptures. You know, this chapter, before this chapter happened, Jesus spent so much time in Galilee, intentionally avoiding Judea because the Judeans wanted to kill him. And for the last 6 months, actually, before this chapter, he actually was on the run. Can you see Jesus on the run? I can't. I don't think he runs from anything. I think he walks. And at the same time, the Feast of the Tabernacle was nearby. And then his brother said to him, you know, why don't we go in? And then, of course, he says, you know, I'll just hang around here. And he decided not to go. And it says in verse 10 that Jesus then decided to go secretly and not openly. You know, when I was kind of thinking about my verse and all that kind of stuff, I kind of thought, can Jesus actually blend? You know, can he blend? He's slipping into a city that is after him, that wants to kill him, and then he goes there, and he tries to blend in. You know, I'm trying to think of a time when you know, I've blended, and that doesn't happen well, because the Jesus that is inside me, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells within me, according to Romans 8:11. Is that right, church? Am I talking to the church? That the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me and you. And you know, that spirit that dwells within me cannot blend. The spirit that dwells within you cannot blend. It struggles to blend. It struggles to be incognito. Do you know, just a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, Fortu, beautiful Fortu, she started to come down to the food care because she just felt that, you know, she could add something there. And, you know, her spirit inside her cannot blend. In fact, it actually stands out. And there was a particular client of mine, lovely girl, lovely married girl, but very, very stubborn. And she would never respond to the sense of Christ. over all these years. And, you know, I says to Futu, me and Ray were on the back end doing our busy lives. And I says to Ray, I said, look at Futu. And Futu was right there with this Maori girl praying, and the girl was crying. You know, it's because what happened with Futu is that whatever was happening in the girl and that place of need, that Spirit of God raised itself and it responded to the need. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you walk in our life, we walk in our normal lives. We go shopping or we do something like that. We go to school. We, you know, whatever we do. And then we come along someone that is hurting, someone that is feeling pain, and they tell us what their spirit is doing, and our spirit must respond. And there's a choice of response. So this whole thing about Jesus blending, he couldn't blend. You know, he cannot blend because that spirit inside him responds and commands a response. And the same spirit that raised Jesus for Christ from the dead, according to Romans 8:11, dwells within us, the church. That when we're at university or when we're at school, when we're at our shops or something like that, that the spirit commands us to say something. Do you know, when I think when I spoke last, I spoke about a good friend of ours. She's a Muslim girl. Do you remember that? But let me just tell you, those that don't remember, is that she came and saw us and she was at the food care. And I says to her, you know, how are you going? And she said, I'm not good. And I said, what's up? And she says, I've been diagnosed with leukemia. Right there, church, guess what raised inside of me? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And, you know, we could have done a couple of things right then. We could pat her on the back and say, I'm sorry, but I'm with you, but, you know, no response. Or what we could have done as Christians, we could have got this church praying on the Sunday. And guess what? It prayed on the Sunday, and I was having morning tea with these guys, and she was totally healed. Come on, church. Get excited. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives and dwells within every single one of us. And I could have responded to her with saying, you know, I'm so sorry. I am sorry. I was sorry. It was the worst news ever. But then we got to take it a little bit further and we got to be a little bit gutsier and we got to say, you know what, Brenda, can I pray for you? Because she wanted to know if the same my Jesus could heal her. And I said, yes, he can. Prayed for her, brought it to this church. We prayed for her. Then I was having morning tea with Turkish coffee and rejoicing. And to this day, she is a now friend of this place. Does she know? Has she accepted Jesus? Nope. But she's a little bit closer. So when Jesus goes into Jerusalem, he secretly goes. But my thought is he would never ever blend because the spirit that's within him. Amen, church? Awesome. You get that? I got that this morning, actually, when I was getting ready. So by this time now, Jesus is now traveling to Jerusalem. He's now traveling there. And he starts teaching. So someone that's gone in secret, he's now teaching. And when the Feast of the Tabernacle, what that really is, that is just an amazing 8 days of when what they're doing, they're actually celebrating the 40 years that God actually supplied and provided everything for the children of Israel back then in the desert. And so during that time of the Feast of the Tabernacle, the whole place was just full on. They had tents, they reenacted with with how it would have been in the desert, and they were celebrating that kind of whole thing. There were kids there, you know. Also what they were celebrating, the second half of that, was that they're also celebrating water. Now, the thing with water is that they needed water and they needed rain. And the rain was about making sure that the crops would actually be growing today. So it was two things. So one, it was in the past about what God did for them in provision. And the second thing was now presently with water, with rain. Not knowing that the actual person that could supply rain, supply water was actually in the city. And you know, this was a time of excitement. This was a time of noise. In the city, there would be just under 1 million people, all in tents. There were thousands and thousands of people in this time, during that time. And the children would be yelling, the children would be screaming, there'd be so much noise. And it would be like camping. And you know, I don't know, you guys been camping when you were young? I remember we were camping. And one of the things that when we would camp in New Zealand is that because you don't have snakes there, or spiders that are poisonous, you don't have anything poisonous there, only the people. I can say that because I come from there, been here for a long time, but I'm still there. And the one thing when we would go camping when we were young is that, thank goodness, my mother would balance my father. My father would be, my mother would just make sure that we've got everything, the kitchen sink, everything, you know. She was just awesome. And we would go into a tent. And, you know, there's nothing like waking up in a tent of canvas, yeah? Or you guys do caravans and hotels? Resorts. Or vans. A couple in this church went traveling in a van around Melbourne. But, you know, when we were young, we would actually be in a tent and we would be totally with that smell. And you know what my dad would do? My dad would actually, so mum would set everything up and then dad would actually take us possum hunting. Possum hunting. Poor little possums. And so he'll take us possum hunting, and then when he wouldn't be doing that, we'd be going eeling. And I don't know if you guys heard what I was doing before, is that when we used to go eeling with my dad, someone had to be on the bank, and he would actually throw the eels up, and then someone would have to jump on the eel, and that was me. And I was under 12 years old. I was about 11 when we would do that. And so, you know, our camping days were a little bit different from these guys. No wonder I'm actually more prone towards animals, yeah? And so what would happen is that there was that excitement that we would have. But can you imagine the excitement in Jerusalem at this time? Thousands and thousands of children in tents and all that kind of stuff. Just thousands of people. And then what would happen during the 8 days? So Jesus is already there. He's already speaking to the in the temple. And then what would actually happen on the last day? There would be a special festival. And it would be called the water drawing ceremony. And this is the highlight of it. This is the highlight. And what would happen was that the priests would walk down the road, and behind them would be the choir and the flutists and all that kind of thing. And they would make a lot of noise, and they would be holding, and the priests would be holding two water pitchers. In one hand, it would be wine in the pitcher. And on the other picture, they are going towards the pool of Siloam. And what would happen is that once when they draw water on the second picture, that this is what the people would do. The choir would call out and start chanting Psalms 118. I want everyone to turn to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. You guys got it? So what I want a little bit of crowd participation. What we're going to do, we're going to read it out loud. Is that okay? Church? Is that all right? But what I want to do is from this side, this way, I want you guys to look up Psalms 113. Psalms 113. And you guys look up Psalms 118. So that's all the youth. Yeah? All right. Okay, got it. 113. So what would happen is that when he would draw the water from the pool, the choir would start chanting. So 130, and I want you guys to read it out loud. Is that okay? Okay, any version that you guys have got, and it's 113. This side here, I want you guys to call out 118 from verse 25. But you got to do it together. Ready? You got the version? It's at 108 and 113. Go. Come on, church. All right, stop. You hear that? You hear that din? You hear all that noise? What we want you guys to do, I want you to stand now, because this is what happened on that feast. Now, Jesus is in the city. He's in secret. They're after to kill him. And then what's happening is that the priest has now got the two pitchers, and one's with wine and the other one. And then when he dips it, this is when the whole mess starts happening. Where's my drummer? My drummer's up. Ronnie, jump on the drums, man. Let's go. Go, Ronnie. So I want you guys to... Oh, here's the drummer. Here's the drummer. Ronnie can go on Congo. Oh, Luke can go on Congo. Yeah, yeah. So this is what... So, go, Ronnie. Come, Luke. Go on Congo. Congas. So what happens... I want you guys to imagine what it's like at a festival of the tabernacle. The Feast of the Tabernacle. So, you guys all right? You got the whole punch thing happening? Yeah, you guys good? Now, I need you, when they start yelling the verses, yelling, and you know what? You're actually yelling and you're prophesying about Jesus, and Jesus is actually in the city, and the children of Israel don't even know it. Ready? So, you guys ready? Any version, it doesn't matter what version. They didn't ask what version back then. So 113, start from verse 1, and you guys over there with a loud voice, Shawnee, I want to hear you guys. It's verse 25. When they start, you start, and then this is what's happened. So this is the whole thing about what happens at the feast. Go! Come on, church! Yell those scriptures out! Come on! Come on, church. Start prophesying. Come on, church. Come on, church. Okay. Oh, my goodness me. Whoa, give yourselves a hand. But what we're going to do, we're going to add another instrument. Come on, Arnie. Let's go. Bass. Go, 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 go. All right, you know when you're saying these verses, we're actually prophesying into our future, and the children of Israel were prophesying about the Savior of water, and he was actually already there in the temple, and they didn't even know it. Okay, so we know the beat, so you just need to kind of come with whatever these guys are doing. And we're following Ronnie. So Ronnie, you're the star. You ready to prophesy, church? Go. Prophesy, church. Prophesy. Prophesy. All right, stop. All right. Can we change that beat to something more Polynesian? You know that there were some dark folk in the Bible. All right, so we need some bit of something. But hang on. What I'm saying here, church, do you understand what's happening in the city? And Jesus is there. Don't sit down because I'm just, this is totally just off the back. And Jay, I need you on guitar, darling. I need you on guitar. And you know what? And Jesus is there having a scrap with the Pharisees, having a fight about where he comes from. And then what's happening is that these people are actually walking and they're calling out for a Savior, and they didn't even know he was in the city. And they're prophesying. And you know what, church? What we're doing today is very biblical, but it's very much for today. And it says all of that. And I want, you got, neighbor, don't go slow. Jay. I can feel that kind of worship thing happening. Can you, you know, because we can be drawn into that worship really quickly. Then Bubby's going to take over the stage and all that stuff. But don't you start doing your beautiful thing, all right? Okay. 113, 118. You guys ready? Youth, I want you to yell the prophecy out over this church. Amen? And go. Go. Prophesy. Prophesy. Prophesy over here. And it says in 118 verse 22 that the stone which the builders rejected, and he was there, he was actually there, has become the chief cornerstone. And this was the Lord's doing. It's God. He's up to something. It is marvelous in our eyes. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it, church. Amen. You know, I think I'm going to finish. I think it's kind of taken another road. But you know what? I was watching you when you guys were prophesying. Man, you guys were calling. You guys were screaming. You guys were reaching up to heaven and just grabbing whatever you could. And you know, this morning, maybe that's what it's about. Maybe just come off word, Janine, and just allow prophecy to happen in this church. Amen? Amen? Don't stand. I'm going to finish right here. And then what happened was that they walked. And they walked into the through the water gate with the two pitchers right there in their hand, one full of wine and one full of water. And they didn't know that Jesus was now out of the temple and he was by the water gate. And then the priests, they walked and they wanted to do the whole ritual thing, which they did. And right then, I just actually need my notes. She's so efficient, my daughter-in-law, isn't she? Anyway. And then what happened right then, those two pitchers, and they started to empty the liquid into these silver basins. And right there, there's this amazing hush that comes over the children of the people in Jerusalem. And right there, that is when they purposely go silent and they do a reflection on God. But right there, that is when our Jesus decides to speak up. And he's just amazing. And he calls out with the loudest voice ever. He cries out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drinking. And whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his innermost being." And you know, that is the Jewish. That's actually the Jewish version. And it goes, "And if anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming." You know, and Jesus says to us this morning, you know, it's not a one-off, but just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming closer. You may not feel that there's change, but you know what, darling, there is change. You may not feel that your circumstances are changing, but I tell you, he's actually onto that. He's actually onto that. You may think that, oh my goodness me, what am I going to do? I don't have any work. I don't have finances. My marriage did it. You may think all that, but I tell you, there's someone in your corner that is actually totally in front of you, barracking for you. He's your biggest fan. And Jesus says to us, according to that verse, he says this. He says, "And if you are thirsty, if you've got enough courage, come to me. But not only once, but keep coming." Amen, church? Amen. Why don't you all close your eyes? You know what? You might be a Christian for a lot of years. You may have given your heart to Jesus. And you still are a Christian. You still love God. But you know that there's totally a blockage. You know something's going down. And if that's you this morning, and I want to pray for you, because the worst thing is that you live a life of just existence, of mediocre, average, and yet you're a lover of Christ. But he says that I will give you a life worth living for, and I will bring it into living color. So if that's you this morning, if you're saved, let me pray for you. And all you got to do, I'm not going to tell you to come up front, but I just want you to put your hand up, and I'm going to see it. I'll see it. If that's you this morning, yeah, I got your hand. I see it. I see your hand. Put it down. Yep, that's it. Put your hands down. Fantastic. Fantastic. To live the life worth called a Christian. That you prophesy.